The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yeah, the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude, and Wendell getting you home across Sydney and across this beautiful state of New South Wales. And gentlemen, we have a new Prime Minister. We have a new Prime Minister. Albo is the man. He got signed in today by Governor General. He's off to Japan. Not a bad gig.
Yeah, straight out.
Straight out with Penny Wong to do his business and stuff. So, what were your thoughts as the election started to unfold on Saturday night? Certainly down on the Northern Beaches, it's all teal, all the independent, all strong women who are now got an opportunity to make a difference. So we look forward to hope that they do that. What were your thoughts? What was happening down there in the Gong, mate? What was happening in your world around the election, Del? Or did you
election
literally...
Election parties, you were doing everything, weren't you?
You just didn't even know it was on.
I knew it was on. And I'm happy for Albo because Albo's come on our show a few times. So well done to Albo, but that's all my interest in it. Thank you very much. Let's move along.
Right, okay. What were your thoughts, big fella?
No, I think it was obviously, as you touched upon, the teal independence and the big shift, the push from women to really make a stand, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and see you later, Scotty. Scotty for Marketing Toast. Nice, must admit, his speech going out was solid, but so was Albo's coming in. So we wish them all the best. Always welcome on our show. Always happy to chat with you.
And the $100 million that Clive Palmer put towards advertising.
How many seats did he get?
At this point?
Donuts. Zero.
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer bloke.
Exactly what he likes, donuts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what about the sausages available outside of polling booths?
Democracy sausage.
Yes. At Albo's. Albo's meant to be a knockabout, right? He's Labor. You know, he's come from tough beginnings of working class. $10 for a sausage at his polling booth.
What?
$10. I know it came in a gourmet.
Yeah, premium sausages, mate.
Well, mate, you can get the most premium sausage from the pig that won the blue ribbon at the Easter show and put it in a nice brocho buns? What are those things called?
Brioche
buns. Yeah. And give it a bloody caramelised onion. It's still not worth $10.
Was it Inner West? Was it actually a sausage? Was it?
Oh, it could have been a non-meat sausage.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, I didn't get any sausage at all because I bet early, but the sausage I went down with
you
my
bet
daughter,
early.
I didn't bet early, I voted early. But they were just like a bit of white bread, Barbie sauce or tomato sauce, and a thin sausage from Coles or Woolies.
You can't beat that. That's me.
That is what it's all about, right?
1, 2, 3. KO and the Rush Hours. Mini footy highlights. Watch the team you love every game of every round. Live and ad break free in play on KO Sports. Triple M NRL game highlights.
And then it goes out to Katoni Staggs, who's away. He only needs support. He gets it back to Selwyn Cobber.
Oh,
over the
Dom
20.
Young.
Stopped by Dom Young.
Oh.
Gets up and goes again. But I'm going to say we're going to go back and have a look at obstruction.
They have cleared the obstruction.
Selwyn Cobber.
No.
It's a try. That might be the ball game.
Where's the consistency in that? Seriously.
Broncos 36, Knights 12. Burton will kick to the in goal. No, he doesn't. He gets it to Aaron Shoup, who gets it away to Carras, and he goes over in the corner. The Lebanese international, and he brings them back 18-16.
Right side now, Madden kicks and chases it through. He just needs the bounce. Dives on it beautifully. Great finish. Great try for Madden.
36 points to 22.
10 metres out, quick play the ball. He's in a dummy half. He gets
Lomax.
A pass away to Lomax. And Lomax scores for the Dragons. Great play. The hero of the whole thing, Del, Cody Ramsey. Dragons 24. Warriors 18.
Tigers ankle tap by Tedesco. Goes to Luai. Luai gets there and he scores. Jerome Luai gets the first point for the Panthers. He's away.
Yeah.
Patton, he's up over the 30-metre line. It's a foot race. They won't catch him. Patton will score for the Panthers from one end of the field to another. Stephen Crichton's got 95 metres. Tedesco gets up, spins around, and scores! I said what was going on with the defence. It's the commentator's curse. The Roosters are back, and it goes to James Tedesco this time. Here's James Fisher-Harris, and there was no one home, and the big forward scores. Another try. This time, James Fisher-Harris gets in on the act, and the Panthers are home.
Played back, left side they go. Brimson comes back toward the middle, gets out of one tackle, AJ. Offloads the ball to Wallace, and he dives over right beside the post. Oh, yeah!
Jared Wallace, the old boy of the team, scores. Played back again to Brayley. Got it away to Nakora. Brayley on the runaround. Pass goes out to Connor Tracy. And they go over for a good one, the Sharkies. Great play. It bounces awkwardly again.
Miller.
Miller picks it up. He's gone right through. Wow. He's over the halfway line. Miller, he's over the 30. He's going to score, Coffs Harbour. Wow. He's going to score a beautiful try. Lachlan Miller, the Coffs Harbour Comet on debut. Brayley again. Here's Hines for field goal. Yeah. Has a shot. I don't think there'll be too much problem with that. Sharks 25, Titans 18. That will be the ball game.
Yeah, and that is a wrap of the footy. Never miss a moment on KO Sports with all your faves, including AFL, NRL, Formula One, NBA playoffs, and so much more. You won't miss a thing on Foxtel and KO. What about this? Panthers, Melbourne, Cows and Sharks, your top four. Yeah. Your bottom four, Titans, Tigers, Knights and Doggies. But let's focus on a couple of games. Parramatta and Manly. Manly unlucky. And, of course, Tommy Trbojevic out for the season. Huge blow for New South Wales and also Manly.
Yeah, massive. Tommy Turbo, he hasn't had much luck this season. We talked about last week with that cork that he had, and he was on one leg virtually last week. And I thought he might have been rested this week, but unfortunately for him, he's done for the season. One of the superstars of our game. But, like, in that game too, the Seagulls, mate, they had him on toast there. They got a couple of calls that probably went against him. I think Des Hasler sort of said something. Des doesn't want to get fined, but he sort of brought up a few things. But the Eels, they showed some ticker to come back. I know they got a few lucky calls, but you still got to stay on the grind because Manly scored a couple of really good tries there in those conditions. And it just shows me that Manly, I know they need Tommy Turbo, but it shows me they got enough talent there they can do something.
One of the most disappointing results on the weekend was the Rabbitohs in Dubbo. Canberra really just took it to them the whole time. I saw the combination work between Starling and Hudson Young. And
yeah.
Xavier Savage was sensational, electric
try
there.
Starting to play well,
yeah,
aren't they?
So. Well, they are. They're starting to get some players back, but also confidence. I think they've won three in a row now. The Raiders, Papa Lee, 250 games, the big Papa. He scored a try too. And you can just see that the boys, they're starting... When you start winning, the confidence comes back and you start to enjoy it. And you know what it's like, Jude. And Gus, you've said it before, your team. When you lose, it's every man sort of for themselves until you pull together. You know, Jack White, obviously, he leads from the front there, but their forward pack. They got one of the best forward packs in the game when they're on. But also, they got some exciting backs on the back of like Kotrick and those sort of players. So Canberra now, they're saying, hey, guys, we're not gone.
Just a quick one on the Melbourne Storm. Back-to-back losses. They got belted by the Panthers, and then the Cowboys took it to them as well.
It's a tragedy to see them lose.
Yeah, I know. I think 66 points have been scored against them, and they've only scored 12 points. Obviously, they've had a few injuries, but this is what happens now. Melbourne haven't got the depth that they used to have. But also, they don't lose two games in a row like that. But I've got to give the Cowboys a massive rap. I totally believe now they're a top four side. I said this. If they can beat the Panthers or a Melbourne Storm, then you take a bit of note. But it's just the way they won up there.
Coming up next, I'm going to tee off about my least favourite Hollywood star. He is a beep.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M. A movie star called Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
I reckon he is starting to believe that he's actually a little bit better than he actually thinks than he actually is. He's starting to drink his own Kool-Aid. Have a listen to him trying to take a word out of the English dictionary.
Unbelievable. All right, it's my least favorite word. I think we should wipe it out of the dictionary. Why? What's so unbelievable about tragedy, about triumph, about people that raise us up or let us down? It happens every single day. So, unbelievable. I don't buy. Awesome, horrible, incredible. I believe those. That's a good way to explain things. But unbelievable? Nah, it just happened. Believe it.
I'm not a fan.
You don't like it?
I just reckon he's really arrogant.
Was it too deep for you?
Mate, I live in the deep blue sea.
No, you don't, mate. You live in the deep blue sea,
mate.
No,
single day. And just the word unbelievable is actually really well used.
I agree.
Used a lot. People understand it straight away. We don't need an actor to stand up and tell us what words go in and out of dictionaries.
I think he's more than that.
He's starting to believe he's... What do you mean he's more than that?
He's more than that.
He's more than an actor? What else does he do?
He's a beautiful free spirit. I love him.
So do you agree with him?
No, I don't agree with him, but he's more than an actor.
It's a bit of a flog effort, but I mean, like,
yeah.
I still think he's a good actor and stuff like that. Yeah.
He's entitled to his opinion, mate.
Of course he's entitled to opinion. That's the problem, mate. Yeah. He says his opinion, and then he wants everyone else just to fall into line behind
him. You don't have to listen to anyone else's opinion. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
In life, you can walk around and just be your own ship. Steer your own. That deep, deep blue ocean apparently you're in every day.
Let's have a listen to this knob end in Wolf of Wall Street.
Love beating the chest of this.
Mate, what a great mate. He plays a great role
there.
He's a really good mentor, mate. Like what you are, mate.
Really? What do you mean he's a really good mentor?
In that movie.
He steers him down completely the wrong channel. Literally be like having you as a mentor. Seriously. Just getting an autograph or getting a selfie these days, very different to the old days. You used to have an autograph book and so forth, but this was on one of the AFL shows on the weekend.
I haven't seen a pie sign too often.
He signed a meat pie. He's signed his meat
pie. A meat pie.
Oh, sure.
Oh, he did.
What?
A selfie with a signed meat pie.
There you go. So this pie, at the end of the game, the Collingwood bloke came up and the bloke looked around and he just went, put his pie down, but the bloke signed it, no problem at all.
They had a terrific win in the West, the Collingwood Magpies. And, yeah, the guy was leaning over the fence. He had a jumper or a Guernsey he could get signed and just decides to get the meat pie signed.
How ordinary is the pie for it to be hard enough for you to sign the bottom of it? Must have been.
They're expensive enough anyway these days at the footy.
Good point. What have you been asked to sign over the years, Del, that we can talk about?
No, it's more or less what haven't I been asked to sign? I'm serious. I think when I first started going out with my wife, it was my girlfriend at the time, we're sitting there having dinner and some lady comes over and takes off her bra and says, can you sign this? Like, just
sign the bra or sign the boobs?
No, the bra, but also I've had, someone's asked me to do that a couple of times, so I've done
to
that.
To sign bodily parts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's similar.
What about you?
Like,
what about you?
One guy asked for his leg to be signed. I'm like, why is that? And he goes, I'll just take it straight to the tattoo artist and get it signed.
Yeah.
And
so there's someone there with the Jude Bolton signature on their leg.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Okay. Why would they do that? I don't know. But anyway.
You're too modest. You're a legend, mate. Two-time premiership.
I wouldn't say legend, but he's a good player.
325.
Yeah, I know.
He's won as many comps as you.
Yeah, I know, but he hasn't.
He's won two.
Yeah, he hasn't played a lot of the world like me. No,
you played in Ireland, didn't you?
Yeah.
One triple
on
three.
On off the field.
Yeah, no doubt you too, Scallywags. 1-3-3-5-3. What did you get autographed, or who did you get a selfie with? G'day, Tim. What did you get autographed, brother, and where?
G'day, lads. No, it was a mate of mine. He's beyond diehard Manly fan and bumped into Beaver Menzies at one of the major golf tournaments in Australia in Sydney, and sure enough, Beaver signed his leg and he got the tattoo signed on his leg.
Straight away.
Just like you've had done.
That's the real Beaver, though.
He's the real Beaver.
That's the real Beaver. Steve Menzies, legend.
You're not bad either, Jude. What about Kelly in Picnic Point? G'day, Kelly. What did you get autographed?
Hi, guys. I got my chest autographed.
Oh, who by?
Guy Leach. I was at Club Troppo back at Reesby Workers when I was in my 20s, and they said, who wants an autograph? And I'd had a few and said, my chest. And my friends are like, he won't sign that. And he goes, come on up, love. And I got my chest signed.
Yeah.
What did he do with like a felt pen? Did it come off or how long was it on there for?
It was an art line pen. It was on there for about a week and my mother was mortified.
good on you, Kelly. Love that.
He was a sexy dude too back in the day.
Yeah.
Still sexy now.
Kelly sounds lovely too. What about Alex in the Central Coast? G'day, Alex.
Hey, gents. How are we?
Good, mate. What did you get autographed?
My father-in-law got a first-class Qantas wine list signed by Jason Alexander, who plays George Costanza on Seinfeld.
George Costanza.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I thought this was the baby's room. I'm really sorry.
One of the great characters.
I love him, mate. He was
a bit of shrinkage there.
It's like Gussie getting out of every pool.
Mate.
It's true.
Remember when the Australian Swimming Championships were like absolutely like prime time?
Channel 9, must watch.
7:30, Ray Warren calling it. Yep. They go for a couple of hours. Well,
Thorpe, Grant Hackett.
Exactly. Not quite like that anymore because like everything, it goes to a streaming service and you understand why swimming does that because they get more money that way. But we might have missed something last night, a world record to Ariana Titmus. Have a listen to this call.
Look over your shoulder, Katie Ledecky, because you've got a Terminator on your tail. In fact, you've got a Terminator in front of you. Katie Ledecky's world record is going to go right here. Come on, let's go, Ariane. Ariane Titmus is hanging on. Can she get there? The world record's catching her. Come on, Ariane. Get there. Come on, go.
She's got it.
World record for Ariane Titmus. Katie Ledecky's world record has been terminated here tonight.
Tell you what, there's not many better callers than Johnny Harker. He absolutely took you into the pool then. Incredible. A world record. And you know that world record line is going and going and going. And she was right on it, right on it. And as Hark said, she got it done. So wonderful stuff. And of course, we've got the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. So that team is getting built for that at the moment.
Yeah, incredible moment. And also another moment which was shared by Cody Simpson, who finished third in the 100-metre butterfly. He received a text and he showed the video of him receiving the text to say he will join the team in Birmingham. And he said, sitting alongside Emma McKeon, our Olympic champion.
They're dating now, right?
It looks like
they are.
Yeah,
mate, they
and,
are.
And,
yes.
And just he got super emotional. It's a pretty special sort of video. We might put up on our socials as well.
Yeah, so we should definitely do that. And of course, Cody is someone that you wouldn't expect. He's gone to swimming quite late. Obviously, a bit of a entertainer and a bit of a
10 years out of the pool.
Look at him.
Oh, yeah, no.
He took you down in that singing show.
That's right. Good luck to him, mate. I'll take him down wherever he wants to, mate.
Don't get upset, mate.
I'm not.
Why rain on his parade? He's just doing his best.
I'm happy for him.
Changed his whole life. He's got an Australian swim team, and you're still not happy.
No, he's
for
going
him.
Out with a friend of mine, Emma. So well done, Emma. Well done, Emma. Yeah, so it's good.
Okay, so they're definitely dating. You can lock that in.
Yeah, they're dating.
Okay, so let's just say off the back of that. That we get fall back in love with Australian swimming again. And I'd love to see.
It's another golden era. It should be celebrated.
Exactly. Absolutely. Our girls in particular, last Olympics, were absolutely incredible as well. So that's a big shout out to all the swimmers and congratulations on making the team and good on you, Cody.
Up next, NRL superstar Benji Marshall and celebrity apprentice guru joins us.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now to talk to this legend.
When man first discovered the wheel, our next guest started his long, long rugby league career, having played a massive 346 games over five clubs. He's captained New Zealand and taken them to two World Cups. He was the all-time point scorer at the West Tigers, and he did this.
Marshall's still going. Marshall's got Richards coming up outside. Now inside. Richards.
Welcome back, legend Benji Marshall.
Yeah, we're not talking footy this time. Celebrity Apprentice is on tonight at 7 p.m. on Channel 9 and 9 Now. And Benji Marshall is one of those celebrities. Benj, welcome to the show.
I'm not a celebrity.
You're not? Well, it says here you're in Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, I am in it. But actually, I walked in the first day when I met everyone and I was like probably the third last person to walk in. And I said, so where's the celebrities?
Yeah.
And mate, let me tell you, a few of them took that very personally and were like, well, who are you? And I was like, well, I don't call myself a celebrity, but I actually think people get hung up thinking they are celebrities. Mm. And let me tell you, there's some people on the show who actually thought they were celebrities.
Does Lord Sugar just take them down though? He rips into them, doesn't he?
Lord Sugar is probably the most ruthless person I think I've ever seen in real life and just upfront, brutally honest. He crushes some souls on there, including my own.
So he's the host. He's the boss, if you like. He did that in England for many years. Mm. Before that, Mark Burris was the man when you were on the show.
Yeah, when Wendell got fired.
Yeah, when you got fired.
I wasn't happy either, just quietly.
Yeah.
Why did you get fired?
Because, look, this will shock you. I wasn't a great project manager.
He's just a footy player, mate.
Just a footy player. Yep. So what made you do it, and how much did you enjoy doing it?
I thought you were going to say, and how much was it?
Well, I would never ask.
I was on holiday in Hamilton Island at the end of last season. I'd just retired, having a few cocktails, as you do. And I got a message from my manager, ring me, and I was like, I'm not ringing him. I'm on holiday. And he writes back, money. So I rang him and he goes, look, we've got this offer to go and do Celebrity Apprentice. I said, look, it's not enough. Tell him to double it and I'll come. Thinking, there's no way.
Yeah.
And then he rings back and goes, yep, all right, see you tomorrow on the plane. I said, doubled. He goes, yep. I said, okay, see you tomorrow.
So did you then have to square it away with the missus?
Well, we still had a week to stay there in Hamilton Island and she was so filthy.
I bet.
Until she got the money.
Yeah. Hey, what was your charity, Benj?
South Cares was my charity. Yeah. And I got involved with them, Wendell, because when I was at South, I got to do a bit of stuff with what they invested in, you know, Indigenous children who are a bit underprivileged and didn't have the same opportunities. You know, their parents had a bit of trouble. And I just really enjoyed what they did for the kids.
Who's impressed you most on the show? I guess sometimes you get this opportunity to do these sort of things and you get to see a different side of people. Who's impressed you most?
Well, there was a lot of people that didn't impress me.
let's talk about them.
Let's get into that.
Well, I don't know if you, who's those radio guys? Is it
Will and Woody?
Yeah, Wood and Woody.
Hey, the one good thing about them is they got an excellent charity.
I got really close to those guys. They were Gotcha for Life boys. I don't know if you heard her story. She got burnt in an Ironman, full marathon, body. Thought she was going to die and had to wear a compression thing over her face for years. Jean Kitson, who was a comedian. I'd never knew Jean or heard of Jean, but she was really funny. And some, weirdly enough, we sort of vibed together. Vince Colosimo was my man.
Brilliant.
Neville Bartos.
Neville.
Yeah, exactly. Bartos. You know it.
What about Darren McMullen?
I got really close with Dazza.
I like Dazza.
At the start, like, he wasn't sort of my guy. We're very opposite, very different. And I think he liked how upfront I was saying, look, just be honest to me, otherwise I'm not going to cop your bullshit. We become boys.
That's fantastic, mate. Well, we're going to enjoy the show. It's on at 7 o'clock again tonight. So does someone get fired every night?
I think, yeah, we had a boardroom every couple of days or whatever it was. And then once you get fired, you don't know what happens at the end. So don't get fired.
Mate, good on you, mate. Take us to that boardroom quickly. Lock you in for hours, don't they? Until they start getting a bit of narkiness and people start going, no, it was this person who
There's a process, like in different camera angles, looking serious, bit of business, a few questions trying to get the right responses. But it was real. Like, it was legit.
You got Benji. He's just everywhere at the moment. He's got his own show. Benji is just everywhere.
Yeah, call him Eddie.
Well,
yeah,
I've got my own show tonight. It's on the same time.
So who's on tonight on Benji on Fox League?
We've got Zach Lomax and Moses Imbai, and we're crossing to the 250 game man, Josh Papali'i. Got a win for Canberra 3
in a row. Strong again against South yesterday. And that chat after the game yesterday was all about who he is. Family.
I emotion.
That's good,
You know, it was great. I enjoyed that.
Me too. Thanks a lot, Benji.
Thanks,
love having you on the show, mate. Take care.
Bring Candace back.
What about this, boys? Ooh, a man in the UK in the town of Poole down in Dorset, big night out with some friends, got separated, and the man said, you know what, I've had enough, I'm going to go home. So he's walking home and he goes, I'm tired, need to have a sleep. So he found himself at Poole bus station in Dorset and he went, you know what, that double-decker bus looks very comfy. So I'm just going to snuggle up, going to walk upstairs, I'm going to snuggle in. And have myself a little sleep, which is exactly what he did.
That's good.
Had a couple of hours sleep. That's a sensible thing to do.
Yes.
After having a couple of
beers.
It's
probably illegal, but to do that. But
I mean, you know, at that stage, it was probably just a little bit of breaking and entering. Yep. A man on a big night
just
on his way home.
A little bit of breaking and entering.
He's just had a little wobble. He's got himself into a bus. But this is where things didn't go so well for him, because he could spend some time in jail after this, because he then woke up on the top deck of the bus.
Yeah.
He wandered down and he went, oh, still got to get home. Still quite a bit away from home.
No.
Keys are in it.
Wondering if this puppy will start up. Keys are in it. Oh. So off he goes. Well,
wow.
He crashed the bus into some railings. He crashed into another car. He then gripped the steering wheel, drove off 3 miles to his house in the village of Hamworthy. So the man wakes up in the morning and the double-decker bus is sort of across his driveway, across the next door neighbour's driveway.
Understated. Really understated.
And it's a big bus, right? And they're only small little driveways in England. So he's not only done that, he's taken out a couple of flower beds and the whole bit, and maybe half of the fence and the letterbox of his next door neighbour. So the cops come around and say, mate, you know, you can't do that. So we're throwing it out there on 133353. What did you bring home after a big night out on 133353? No doubt in the world you two clowns will have some stories.
Yeah, certainly my wife, I remember.
Your wife.
She'd been at a charity event or fundraiser during a day one day, and it was a sort of long afternoon, and I've got the call to say, can you come meet me at the cab at the front of the house? And I'm like, oh, she must need money or something like that to just fix this up. I don't know what's going on. Come out. And she's stumbling out of the cab, and she'd bought like this kid's painting of, like, it was like, I don't know how she actually got into the backseat of the cab. But then I'm going, what are you doing? And I'm stumbling and trying to catch this thing. It's like, that's up in the kids' room now. It's like a big elephant. And I'm like, what sparked you to buy that?
Yeah, but she's kind. She's obviously for a good cause.
Find something that, you know, anyway, like a dinner, a long lunch. Yeah. I could deal with.
You can certainly handle that. What about you, big fella?
No, not really, mate. No, No, I'm not one of those.
When you sit there and say no, not really, mate, that means you've got a story and you're just trying to work out whether you can say it or not.
I can't say it on air. Like, I've done stuff that, like, I can't say on air, okay? I've done stuff, yeah, so I'm not going to say it.
Okay, well, seems like we've got plenty of calls coming through anyway.
What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
Mate, what do you mean? Like, I hardly even go out, and if I do go out, I am absolutely square as.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yes. I vamoose. I leave before the party really
starts. Oh, David Copperfield.
I'm David Copperfield. I get in there early, couple of drinks, and I'm poof. So many callers with people. What do you keep pointing at the thing for? You don't think I know there's six callers there, Jude?
Mate, I want to hear our wonderful callers.
Do you want to take on the hosting role?
Stay in your lane, Jude.
Stay in your lane. Peter in Chatswood. G'day, Pete.
G'day, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, mate. What did you bring home?
A parking meter.
Oh,
okay.
Why?
There's one of the old style ones where you put the 20 cents in and the thing clicks around an hour, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
We're in town with a few footy mates having a few beers, and we pulled into a parking spot, got out of the car, and the parking meter was a bit wobbly in the bitumen, the footpath. So we gave it a bit of a push and a shove and pulled it out of the ground and ended up in my mate's car and ended up in my bedroom.
How much money was in it, Pete?
Oh, about $1.25.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, mate. What about Vicky in Campbelltown? Hi, Vix.
Hello, Vicky.
Hi.
How are you?
What did you bring home?
How are you?
Good, thanks.
What did you bring home, Vix?
It wasn't me. It was my son. He brought home a Crazy John sign.
Oh, my goodness.
Back in the day, that were the mobile phones with the funny eyes and so forth, wasn't it?
Big light up. Bright yellow, two signs. One was Crazy and one was John.
Fantastic. Love it, Vicky. Thank you very much. What about Jason on the Central Coast? G'day, Jace.
Hey, guys. How you going?
What'd you bring home after a big night?
Oh, mate. We're at Western Sydney University at Kingswood. And we apparently got kicked out. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But there was a sign they'd stolen, one of them big signs from when you go down the highway and stuff. This is so far to Canberra.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We decided to take that out on the way home, put it on top of the car. We got blokes hanging out one side, the other side, took it back to a mate's place.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we wake up in the morning and his mum going to the son, Robert, what's going on? He put it behind his bed and it's chipped the wall from over there. I'm going, oh, no. And we've come in with a laugh and she's going off at him. And apparently... allegedly, there was a footballer that used to play for Penrith Roosters and might have captained New South Wales and Australia.
No.
Allegedly might have been
allegedly.
There.
No way. There's no way Mr. Fittler would have been there, Jason. Anyway, Paddy. G'day, Paddy. What did you bring home after a big night?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Firstly, mate, love the show. Gussie, love everything you're doing.
Thanks, mate.
Mate, so a couple of years back, playing for the Mighty Carrot Eagles, we won the minor premiership and thought we better celebrate like we'd just won the GF. And woke up next morning, boom, boom, boom on the door. It was Mum.
Oh, you don't want that at all.
No good. No, you don't want to be taking over your mum. And why the police here, Patrick? Don't know. Why is there one of those wavy men in the backyard?
Oh, that's so good.
At the car dealership, wavy men.
Outstanding, well done, Paddy. Buddy. Mark, we're right having a big night out. No swearing, please.
After a few too many Yagi bombs one night, when we woke up the next morning, we went outside to have our coffee and we had a couple of ducks in our pool.
Hang on, you brought them home or they hadn't just flown in?
No, they hadn't flown in. We thought we'd be fancy, went out to a fancy restaurant to celebrate a girlfriend's birthday. And in the next morning when we've all sort of staggered out of bed, he's got a timber duck, which we're certain was the table ornament at the fancy restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then... yeah, we thought that was okay, and then we went outside, and our clothes were all soaking wet. We'd been swimming in a pond at Blackbutt, and brought a couple of ducks home with us.
Mate, you know else too. Remember Sean Timmins one time? I think he was injured, and then he was up in Brisbane. The Dragons played the Broncos,
yeah,
and he was walking home, and he jumped in one of those street sweepers. drove those street sweepers around.
Some loose units listening to us. I absolutely love it. Well, I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning, boys. I was hoping that Liverpool would win the EPL. They didn't in the end. Manchester City.
Sucked in.
Oi.
Sucked into who?
You.
Okay, mate. We're going to have issues. I know you're a bit grumpy because the weather's not good for you. Don't drag the show down, mate.
Okay.
With a poor attitude.
And then I drag you down.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay. But the theatre of the final day, it was phenomenal.
Well, it was phenomenal. There was people that could get relegated. There was people that could get into the Champions League. And, of course, Manchester City and Liverpool going for the spot to actually win the whole league. With 15 minutes to go, Liverpool were winning. Manchester City were losing and Liverpool were going to be winning the treble with the Champions League final to happen this weekend. Well, in 5 minutes, 3 goals to Man City. Wow. They got the job done. But this is what I want to talk to you about at the end of the game. Have a listen to Gary Neville, who's an expert. He used to play for Man United. This is what he said.
What's happening? We've gone from, you know, this brilliant sort of last 20 years where we've brought the fences down. And all of a sudden, this last few weeks, months, we've got these idiots not just running on the pitch, but actually, if you're attacking players, what the hell are you doing? Attacking managers and players. I mean, running on the pitch is obviously delirious. They've won the league, so I get that. But attacking the opposition players on the pitch, where has this come from? Why is it happening? I've got no idea. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And it's happening right across England at all different levels and stuff.
Where disgraceful behaviour.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Like, as players on the field, and I know we had it with Buddy, and we probably got away with it a little bit. And a few of the Swannies we've spoken to have said we were lucky. People were getting crushed in there and so forth. But let's put that aside for a moment. Player safety. One of the Aston Villa players was actually taken down and assaulted by Manchester City people. Managers were assaulted as well. Wow. Is the playing arena just for you guys? Just for you to be able to ply your trade, to know damn well that you will do your job and know that you're safe? Or are you okay with players getting fans running on the field and sort of coming up to you guys and so forth?
I think that's overstepping the mark by a long way then. Like, it's so hard to control a situation like that. And when you've got athletes like the Man City players as well as the Aston Villa players trying to get off the field, and they're getting jumped upon and they're getting hit and they're getting pushed over and things like that. That could cost them their careers. It could, we've had incidents, way back where fans have taken things onto the field and things like that, or onto the tennis courts and stuff. I'd hate to think that they have to bring fences back that.
Well, that's what
stop
they used to
out,
do in England. They do it in other parts of Europe just to stop that.
I think people now, it's only a small percentage of ruining it for everyone else because I don't think you can have that now. And it takes away from the whole theatre of it. We saw with Buddy, Man City, I saw the coach. The coach was celebrating in that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But then to see the player get injured there and worrying about safety, I think it's done now. I think the new age is you can't do it.
And then they had to take so long to clear the pitch to then do the presentation.
Exactly. Like, so all the players are off the field whilst the fans who have done nothing except, of course, they've cheered and they've paid their money and so forth, but they haven't won the bloody league.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that have to are celebrating and taking the post down and all that sort of stuff. So glad to get your opinions on that.
Up next, my big set of six.
Driving home with three voices in your head. Gus, Jude and Wendell, the Triple M Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour.
The
Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our call. Time now to talk rugby league.
Lucky someone in the Rush Hour can count. This is Dell's Beer Set of Six. With everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're bound to find a bargain at Paddy's. Over to you, Dell.
Yeah, we've got a big set of six. All the big questions around the game of rugby league. We do it most days. Let's start with Tackle One, Jude.
Tackle One, Dell. Should Canterbury go all in now for Cameron Ciraldo or go for an old school coach like Shane Flanagan?
Oh, I think they need an old school coach like Shane Flanagan at the moment. Oh, sorry.
Flanagan.
It says Flanagan here, yeah.
Shane Flanagan. Just call him Flanagan.
Yeah, Flanagan. I call him Flanagan. I just think that if you go with Ciraldo, we know he can coach, but he's not proven. So once again, you're taking a gamble again. We know he's got some talent, but you don't know how it's going to work out. And they can ill afford to get this wrong. I think 6 years they've been in the doldrums now. And they're a proud and iconic club, the Bulldogs, and their fans aren't happy. So they need to get this right. So I'd go after Flano, to be honest. The hardest thing there is going to be working with his son. If his son's playing good enough. but you have to make that tough call.
Mm.
Tackle two, should sponsors have a say in the running of the club? And this is on the back of the Bulldogs. We stay on them a little bit. There was questions asked about the exit of Trent Barrett and you know, should sponsors be able to be informed around these decisions?
Oh, look, I think, I think you know, when the sponsors, there is a piece of the club that they buy into, but I think the football side is completely different. I think Laundy was talking about he wanted to mentor a few of the blokes and that sort of stuff should apply. But
he didn't want to read about the fact that the coach was walking out the door when he's given him $1 million.
Yeah.
Does he deserve to have that little bit of just real estate, or should he have a say in the running of the club? Should Phil Gould be talking to him?
I think Phil Gould should have been talking to him and just let him know this is what's going to happen, you know, because, you know, they put in between $500,000 to $1 million a year. I think that's the least that they could do. They're pretty happy to wine and dine him and get the big checks, as you know, Gus. You know, we've all been there.
Right, tackle three, they're 6-5 now. Can we put a line through the Roosters around winning the comp?
I'm not putting a line through the Roosters. I think, you know, Trent Robinson, he's at the helm. You don't win grand finals around May and June. You win them, you know, come September time, and no one does it better than the Roosters and the Storm. So, mate, I'm not putting a line through them yet, but, you know, they've got to get a few things right in-house.
Big game against the Sharkies this weekend, huge. Of course, with Fitzy back on board, you know, sort of the legend against the legend that could be.
That's right.
What about with everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're sure to find a bargain at Paddy's. Tackle four. Are the Cowboys now the real deal after smoking the Storm?
Yeah, I think they are. I think, you know, they are a top four side now. I said that I wanted to see them beat a team like Penrith or the Storm, and that's what they've done. But it's also the style of football that they're playing, the Cowboys. There's so many good young players there. They're so confident. Tal Malolo is obviously going to be injured for a couple of weeks there, but you know, Valentine Holmes is humming. You know, some of those young forwards and that, they just don't fear anyone. They've got the perfect sort of mix there. The hammer at the back and Drinkwater. I'm not sure how they left Drinkwater at the first couple of weeks, but he's close to their best player.
Yeah, tackle number five. Can New South Wales win without their star centres Latrell and Tommy? You're thinking Crichton and Stagg will probably step up. Two quality players, but Latrell and Tommy, last series, those first couple of games were just unbelievable.
Yeah, they were unbelievable. But, mate, look, New South Wales, they've got so many good centres. You know, young Lomax, obviously. You got Burton as well. So, Freddie's got a heap of talent. Now, I know Origin's a different beast, but, you know, even Crichton, if he gets there and Stags, I mean,
built for the game, isn't he?
Yeah, I shudder to think what he can do. So, there's still enough good players there for the New South Wales team, yeah, to obviously win the Origin series. As a Queenslander, I'm liking what Queenslander got, but not that you guys care. But I think New South Wales, they should be confident again, even though I want Queensland to win.
Of course. And, of course, we'll talk more about the Queensland side of Origin as we get closer to game one. Tackle number six, to wrap it up, mate. How important is the ref in State of Origin? In AFL and NRL, especially over the weekend, people have had enough of the poor decisions, not just by the ref,
as well,
over the top. Officiating, but also the bunker not getting it right, referees being a little bit too precious when it comes to certain players. At what stage, right, do we say that referee can't be doing Origin because of the mistakes and stuff that they make?
I think it's human nature to make mistakes. I think we put too much pressure on our referees and the bunker. I mean, we all make mistakes, so they can make mistakes too. And we just keep highlighting it. And I think it's unfair on them too, because what about their mental health as well? Do you think they like it?
No, I'm sure they don't. No,
but I know they're paid to get it right. Even when I played, I was paid to score tries and catch the football. I didn't do that all the time. So I think we need to cut them a bit of a break. But I think it's a consistency that we're looking at. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, if you look
at... What do you think, Jude?
We're sending too much up to the bunker for me.
Yeah.
It just stops all the theatre and
yes.
Just,
what about AFL? Bad decisions there as well. People frustrated.
Absolutely, too many 50-metre penalties. Just absolute, just over officiating the game.
It's not about you guys.
Just let it go.
Yeah,
let
it's all about the players.
It spoils the theatre of the game, and we want it to be. It's quick and it's exciting. You know, that's what we want. We don't want you dragging it out for two and a half minutes, mate, watching reel after reel. So make a decision and let's go.
And that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 p.m. on Triple M.